seen men on a dead man's chest. Yo ho ho and a bottle of rum. Drink and the devil have done for the rest. Yo ho ho and a bottle of rum.
I think it was Dr. Livesey who first suggested I write down the full particulars about Treasure Island. Jim Hawkins, he said to me, you're a bright lad. It would be a shame if you weren't to set down on paper all the events that befell us for others to read. So I have done just that, trying to remember it all. When I think back to the Admiral Benbow Inn, where my father was landlord before he died, I first remember Billy Bones and his sea chest. You see, Billy Bones had always been a mysterious boarder in our inn who seemed to harbor a deep secret. When he died very suddenly of a heart seizure, my mother and I went through his personal effects. In his sea chest, we discovered a pouch wrapped in oilskin. My mother immediately sent me to our good friend, Dr. Livesey.
Did Billy Bones tell you what was in this pouch, Jim?
No, sir, but he once mentioned something about a treasure belonging to a Captain Flint.
Captain Flint?
You know him, sir?
I knew of him, the bloodthirstiest buccaneer to sail the seven seas. Well, let us have a look at the pouch and see what it is that Billy Bones guarded so jealously.
In the pouch was a map of an island. Under a hill, in the center of it, were three red crosses, and beside the last cross were the words, Bulk of Treasure Here. This was Billy Bones' secret, a buried treasure. Dr. Livesey and his friend, Squire Trelawney, made plans to charter a boat and sail for the island shown on the map, and I was to accompany them as a cabin boy. Only the three of us would know the purpose of the voyage. Now we needed a crew, so Dr. Livesey gave me a note which I was to deliver to a certain John Silver. I found him at the Spyglass Tavern. I knew him at once from the description the doctor had given me. He had a pegged leg, but he was a tall and strong man, and he had a face as big as a ham. Plucking up my courage, I approached him. Mr. Silver, sir?
Aye, matey. Such is my name. And who might you be?
Jim Hawkins, sir. I have a letter from Dr. Livesey.
Dr. Livesey? Give it here, lad. So, you're to be our cabin boy, eh?
Yes, sir.
Well, now, I'm happy to meet you, Jim, lad. And I can tell you right off to trot back to the good old doctor and tell him Long John Silver will have a crew for him in 2 weeks' time, like he's never seen before.
Long John Silver kept his word. In 2 weeks, we were ready to sail. Our captain was a man named Smollett, and when Dr. Livesey, Squire Trelawney, and I boarded the boat, which was named the Hispaniola, we learned from Captain Smollett that he, and undoubtedly the entire crew, already knew not only the purpose of our voyage, but that we also had a map of the island showing where a treasure was buried. Who could have talked so freely, we did not know. But the damage was done, and we could only hope that it would lead to no trouble. Several days out, after doing my work, I thought I would like an apple, and I climbed into the big apple barrel, which was on deck. But what with my being tired after a day's work, and the gentle rocking of the Hispaniola, I fell asleep. And I didn't waken until I heard voices just outside the barrel. One belonged to John Silver, the other to Israel Hands, the coxswain. I remained inside and listened.
Flint was captain, he was, and I was quartermaster.
And was it on that voyage that he buried the gold?
Yes, it was, Marty. While we waited on the boat, and 2 months later, he was dead. And soon, Marty, it'll be ours. That's why we're here, sailing on the Hispaniola. Me and what's left of Flint's crew.
Now, at last, I knew the truth. Long John Silver and the crew he had brought together were all pirates. As soon as I was able, I relayed to Dr. Livesey and Captain Smollett all I had heard, thus putting us on our guard against the buccaneers. The rest of the voyage continued without incident. Then came the morning when the lookout shouted,
"Land ho!"
The Hispaniola put in at a cove of Skeleton Island, which we had come to call Treasure Island. Once the Hispaniola lay at anchor, Captain Smollett decided to allow some of the crew to go ashore. Six men, including the doctor, the squire, and I, would remain on board, while 13 went ashore with John Silver. We knew he would keep them in line. I wanted so much to go ashore with them, so while the boats were being lowered, I slipped unnoticed into one of them and hid under the canvas. So began my unbelievable adventure. Once ashore, I slid out into the sand and ran as fast as my legs could carry me into the jungle of trees. For hours, I wandered about the island, wondering where the treasure might be buried. Then, as I entered a clearing in the trees, I froze in sudden terror. There in the clearing stood an old man with a long white beard, his skin burned by the sun. He was dressed in tatters. We stood eyeing each other, and it was difficult to tell who was the more frightened. The sound of a bird broke the spell. Who are you?
I'm poor Ben Gunn, I am. And I haven't spoken to a living being these past 3 years.
3 years? Were you shipwrecked?
Marooned, matey. Abandoned. To live on berries and oysters and goat. How are you called, matey?
Jim. Jim Hawkins, sir.
Sir? You're a lad of good upbringing, Jim. And if I take a liking to you, it could be worth your while. Come here to find Flint's treasure, did you?
How did you know?
Ben Gunn knew long John Silver would find some way to come back for it. We were in Flint's crew together when he left the old walrus to bury the treasure.
Is that when you were marooned?
No, that happened 3 years back when I brought a ship here to search for the treasure. 12 days we searched, but the treasure was well hid. Then my shipmates handed me a spade, a pickaxe, and a musket. Here, they said, you can look for Flint's treasure yourself. And then off they sailed, leaving old Ben Gunn alone on this desolate island.
And did you ever find...
What? What was that?
They're firing from the Hispaniola. Come on! The cannon shots we heard were from the ship. Captain Smollett, the squire, and a few of the faithful hands had taken a second small boat to the island, and now were being fired upon by the pirates left on the Hispaniola. Ben Gunn and I hid in the brush and could see their boat capsize, but then we saw them wading ashore carrying their stores and provisions. Luckily, they found a stockade and were able to take cover there. I urged Ben Gunn to come with me to join them there, but he would not come. He pointed out a small boat he had built himself and hidden in a small cove. He told me I could always find him nearby. I was warmly welcomed in the stockade, having been given up for dead. I told everyone about my encounter with Ben Gunn. With the coming of night, the shooting ceased. The following morning, we were surprised to see John Silver stumping across the sand toward the stockade carrying a white flag. Captain Smollett, suspecting a trick, warned us to stay inside. Then he called out the window.
Stand, or we fire.
It's Captain Silver, sir. You come on board and make terms?
I know no Captain Silver.
The poor lads you deserted chose me, Captain, sir. We're willing to submit the terms, and no bones about it.
What are your terms?
We want the treasure, and we'll have it. We know you have a chart showing the location. Give it to us, and we'll give you a choice, we will.
What choice?
Once we've loaded the treasure, come aboard the Hispaniola, and I give you my affidavit, we'll set you ashore somewhere. Or you can stay right here, and we'll see that a ship comes back to pick you up. I give you my affidavit on that, too.
Is that your final word?
My very last one.
Then hear mine. If you and the others will come up unarmed, I'll see you have a fair trial when we're back in England. You have no other choice, for we do not intend to give you the map, without which you will never find the treasure. And I give you my affidavit on that.
Muttering curses at us, Silver returned to where his men were waiting, and within the hour, the shooting had resumed. It was a bloody fight, and when at last John Silver and his men disappeared into the woods, we took count of our casualties. We had lost 3 men to their 5. The doctor tended to the wounded and then went off to look for Ben Gunn. I decided this was the time to take Ben Gunn's boat and go back to the Hispaniola for more ammunition and supplies. I took a pistol with me, slipped out of the stockade, and made my way to the small cove where the boat was waiting for me. When I came aboard the Hispaniola, I began to look for the pirate on watch I was certain Silver had left behind. Then I saw them, the one called Red Cap and Israel Hands. I did not need a second look to see Red Cap was dead. Israel Hands lay against the bulwark, and with every roll of the ship, his head swayed from side to side. I could not tell if he was dead. I ran to his side. I bent over him and shook his shoulder. Mr. Hands, sir.
Ah, it's you, matey.
There's blood on your shirt. Are you all right?
A slight wound. Red Cap there came at me with a knife, and I had to run him through.
Lie quietly. I'll fetch you some rum.
Oh, thank you, matey. You're a good lad.
I hurried below, and searching the galley, I found an unopened bottle of rum, which I took back up to Israel Hands. The rum revived him and brought him to his full senses.
Thank ye, matey. Thank ye. What brought you here, lad?
I've come aboard to take possession of the ship, and you'll please regard me as your captain until further notice.
Aye, captain.
As soon as I strike Mr. Silver's colors, which fly from the mast, I shall sail the Hispaniola around to the north end of the island and beach her in the inlet.
And now that we're underway, Captain, a question.
Aye, Mr. Hands.
What are your intentions regarding meself?
Since you were one of the mutineers and have had a part in killing, I shall turn you over to Captain Smollett for proper punishment.
And just how do you intend to do that, Captain?
I am hoping, Mr. Hands, that there is a spark of honor in you and that you will accompany me peacefully. At that moment, a sudden breeze whipped the mainsail about and I turned my back on Israel Hands to tighten the line. When I faced about again, he was halfway across the deck, coming at me with a dagger in his hand.
Nobody's turning in Israel Hands for no proper punishment, they ain't. Least of all you, Captain Hawkins.
Hands lunged at me, but I leaped to one side and his knife whistled by my ear. In his weakened condition, he was not as quick as I, and I had all a deck to dodge about him. Time after time, he lunged at me, but each time I was quick to move out of the way. Then, as the Hispaniola suddenly came about, the boom struck Hands and threw him to the deck, giving me enough time to jump on the rail and clamber up the shrouds in the mizmast. I stopped only when I had reached the lookout perch. When I looked down, I discovered Hands had revived himself, and with his dirk between his teeth was slowly making his way up toward me. I quickly pulled from my belt the pistol I had taken from the blockhouse. One more step, Mr. Hands, and I'll fire! Suddenly he stopped and took the dirk from between his teeth.
All right, matey. Looks like you have me at a disadvantage. I give myself over to you.
For a moment, I believed his words. And then, as I took my eyes from him, he suddenly threw his dirk at me. The blade pierced the skin of my arm, pinning me to the mast. As Hans started toward me again, I managed to point my pistol at him and fired. With a cry, he let go of the rigging and plunged headfirst into the water. I managed to pull the dirk from the mast and discovered I had suffered only a flesh wound. I scrambled back down to the deck and once more set the Hispaniola's course for the North Inlet. When at last I reached my destination, night had fallen. And as I set out along the beach, I looked forward with happy anticipation to my reunion with Dr. Livesey and the others in the stockade. But when I reached the stockade and threw open the door, I was greeted by an unexpected voice.
Well now, look here, mighties. If it isn't our young friend Jim Hawkins, welcome aboard, lad.
Where's Captain Smollett and Dr. Livesey and the others?
Where they went, nobody knows. But look here, lad. They left us the treasure map.
Did you murder them?
Murder them? Now, mighty, is that the way you think of your friend John Silver? I'm telling you, they walked out of here, leaving us the stockade, provisions, map, and all. And if you want your share of the treasure, lad, then pick up a shovel, for we're on our way to follow the map and find our fortunes.
I had no choice but to join the pirates. And for some reason, I felt that Silver, villain though he was telling me the truth. So we began to follow the map indicating where the treasure was buried. Carefully, we followed the directions and at last came to a thicket grove.
Look sharp, my hearties! Beyond the thicket there!
That's where we'll find what we came after.
Like madmen, the buccaneers surged forward, their hands reaching for the hidden treasure even before it was found. Then suddenly their shouts died on their lips. And we all stood and looked in astonishment at what lay before us. A great excavation in the ground, and not recently made, for the sides had fallen in and grass grew in the bottom. As for any signs of the buried treasure, all that remained were a few pieces of gold and a bit of planking with a faded word Walrus on it. I cannot describe the anger of the men. Their faces were livid with rage. Tom Morgan, a terrifying-looking pirate with a patch over one eye, turned on John Silver and me, growling.
This is your treasure, John Silver. Mark my words, mate. Silver here knew all along there weren't no treasure buried here. He brought us here for nothing, and the kid stole Flint's map in the first place. They're in it together. Let's get him!
With a shout, Morgan and the others rushed towards Silver and me. But as they did, three musket shots flashed out of the thicket. Morgan fell headfirst into the excavation. One of the others spun around and fell dead. The other three turned around and ran as quickly as they could. At that moment, Dr. Livesey, Squire Trelawney, and Ben Gunn emerged from the trees, their muskets still smoking. It was then I learned the whole story. It was Ben Gunn who found the treasure and removed it 3 years before. The doctor knew this when he left the map with John Silver in the stockade, and he and the others went to join Ben Gunn. It took us 3 days to load the treasure onto the Hispaniola. Food and provisions were left in the stockade for the three buccaneers who were still alive somewhere on the island. Old Ben Gunn decided to go with us, and John Silver agreed to return to England also when Dr. Livesey promised he would have a fair trial. But when we had raised anchor and sailed out of the cove, we discovered that somehow Silver had slipped away from the Hispaniola, and with him went a few hundred coins from the treasure, no doubt to help him on his further wanderings. So the narrative of my adventures on Treasure Island has come to an end. Of Long John Silver I've heard no more. But on a still night, as I lie in my bed at the Admiral Benbow Inn, I seem to hear Long John Silver's voice floating up from the breaking waves beneath my window.
15 men on a dead man's chest. Yo-ho-ho, and a bottle of rum. Drink and the devil have come for the rest. Yo-ho-ho.